It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and 11 a.m. in New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Monday, April 1st, April Fools. I'm in New Orleans. He's in New Orleans. I'm here. And there could be some background noise. What's going on there, Handsome? Turn that mic on.
Happy Monday, folks. Glad to be with you. CarEdge.com. That's who's bringing you today's show. That's our company. If we can help you out, go check it out. Dad, let's kick things off right here. Will the industry learn lessons from lean inventories? I put Nissan and Ford in the headline. Why would I do that?
Because their inventories are growing more than some others. Would that be the reason? Is that what they screwed up?
Yeah, exactly. We have Nissan and Ford inventories through the roof. And the entire industry said, hey, we are not going to perpetuate what we did pre-pandemic, which is make too many cars and force our dealers to take them. But what's going on at Nissan and Ford right now? Exactly that.
I'm pretty sure it's going on at Stellantis as well. I read some articles concerning what's going on with dealers and manufacturers and how they all said 2 years ago, oh, we're going to manage our inventories better. We're never going back to the old ways of us producing too many vehicles and pushing them onto the dealers. It's going to be the dealer has to pull the inventory from us. They're going to do orders, this, that, and the other thing. And all I can say is some habits, like, I don't know, a heroin habit, are hard to break.
No, why would you go there? That is not the...
Whatever. It's...
Oh my God, it's Monday morning and you're going to heroin habit. Come on, man, please. Anyway,
some habits are hard to break. That's my point. Some addictions are hard to break. And so the addiction to producing too many cars, shipping them to dealers, begging dealers to take them, increasing incentives to sell cars, it's just what the manufacturers know. And some of those numbers as to how they have impacted dealer profits is staggering.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now let's look at some of the quotes from the article. That this comes from Nissan. They said, quote, there is no intention to go back to where we were in the past. The chairperson of Nissan North Americas, or Nissan Americas, said back in January 2023, to your point, Dad, this person was quoted as saying, we don't need to push vehicles on our dealers. Quote, they need to pull us. This comes at the same time that Nissan was outed on the fact that they are actually paying dealers additional incentives to take take vehicles. Like, they messed up, right? Like, they 100% messed up.
It all looked good during supply chain issues and chip shortages. It looked great then, okay? And it looked like, oh, this could continue forever. But it couldn't, and it didn't, and it won't. Let's not forget that manufacturers are in business to, well, manufacture. So if they have the ability to manufacture, if there are no shortages, they're going to build stuff. Dealers' obligations are to sell stuff. Now, they liked it when there were those shortages and they could artificially inflate the selling prices and that people were willing to pay for that. But that wasn't sustainable. Hell, we see it today, how it's impacting the new car market today. So, you know, this was a pipe dream that came about from supply chain issues and chip shortages. And you know, everybody just reverted back to what they know. And what they know is to build cars. My God, your hair's getting worse.
That was pretty bad. I still can't believe you went to a drug addiction. God, that was bad. All right, we're both 0 for 1 today. He went drug addiction. I should have gotten a comb before we hopped on. I want to pull this back to Ford for a moment, Pops, and then I want to show you some of the most damning statistics I was able to find this morning on essentially the car market resetting. Ford CEO Jim Farley told analysts when told analysts then, this is all the way back in 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Let me come back up here. I think it was back in 2022. He told them that he knows that they're wasting money on incentives and they don't know where. With an order-based system, we'll have much less risk of that. At the Bank of New York Automotive Summit in New York on March 23rd, or March 26th. Wow, I'm all over the place. Ford CFO John Lawler said he thinks the industry discipline has held up even as inventory levels rise. So you've got quotes and information coming from Ford last year and or 2 years ago. And then you have recent comments essentially saying, we've built up discipline, we're good to go. And then the picture is obviously very, very, very different. To try and help capture that debt, we have March new vehicle sales are forecast to be up 4.5% year over year. All right, so a year over year increase for new vehicle sales. What do you think the total inventory increases were year over year? Do you think inventory went up 4.5% year over year?
I think inventory's probably up 10% year over year, maybe more.
You think inventories are up 10% year over year?
Yeah,
and right. That okay, you think so. All right. How about I show you this, Dad?
What's that say? Oh, it's 52% above from last year.
Inventory levels are up 52% year over year.
And they anticipate that sales will end up 4.5%. Ooh, that doesn't bode well, does it?
No, bode well. I mean, that paints the picture of what's going on in the industry. Inventories are up 52%. Sales are up 4.5%. There's only so long you can sell vehicles to fleet customers. This is the car market changing in real time. And Nissan and Ford, and yeah, we could have put Stellantis up there with Jeep and Chrysler, Dodge and Ram too. Those are the brands that have messed up big time. They said, I mean, the lead article in Automotive News is about how brands learned the necessity of having lean inventories and making it more profitable. And then those are three examples of companies who, yeah, maybe they learned it, but they didn't put it into practice.
Yeah. This all ties in to all the corporate BS that we heard back in 2021 and 2022. Okay. And the corporate BS started with memos coming from manufacturers to their dealer bodies. Well, you know, really, you shouldn't do these massive market adjustments and charge people extra money to buy these vehicles. It doesn't shine a good light on you or the brand. And those were great public relations memos that had absolutely no teeth to them. Okay. Yeah. But it got headlines that, oh, look what Ford's trying to do. Look what Kia is trying to do. Look what Hyundai's trying to do. No, they're just trying to look good. They weren't trying to do anything. Okay. And then now we're getting the headlines that then we got the BS that, well, we've learned our lessons. We're going to be lean and mean. We're going to be a build to order business. They're not. They're in the manufacturing business. They make money by manufacturing stuff and getting their dealer body to buy it. They don't get paid when the vehicle gets retailed. They get paid when the vehicle gets wholesaled. Okay, so the lean and mean build to order, that was all crap. Okay, the same crap that went along with, we're admonishing our dealers for doing it. There was no teeth to any of that. And then now we're back to the reality of the car business, of what the car business always has been and apparently
always will be.
And that is much more supply than there is demand. The way you move vehicles is the dealer discounts the hell out of them. The manufacturer places incentives on them to help the customer purchase them. We're back there. In 2 years ago, the profit margins for dealers were about 7%. Now, prior to COVID, dealer profit margins were somewhere between 1.5% and 3%. What that means is that 1.5 cents to 3 cents for every dollar the dealership took in ultimately made its way to net profit. Okay. And during the height of the pandemic and everything, it was 7 cents out of every dollar. And the dealers didn't discount the cars, they overcharged for the cars. Well, now, guess what? They're back to about 3.2%. So 3 cents out of every dollar is making it to the bottom line. It is a race back to pre-COVID days. Now, the public will say, but the prices aren't low enough. You know, they raised the prices 50%. They've only dropped prices in Stellantis's situation like 12%. That's not nearly enough. Well, that very well might be true. But if you think that those prices are going to come down to pre-COVID levels, not unless there's a Great Depression. Okay, that's what will cause them to go to below pre-COVID levels. But prices are coming down. People have more negotiating power than they have. Are dealers still asking dealer markups? Of course. Are they getting them? In most cases, not.
Yeah, definitely. We do see some dealers trying to ask for markups, but it is really going away because inventory is up 52%, sales are up 4.5%. Do the math. There was actually really interesting research in the Automotive News article that talks about dealer profitability that you were speaking to. It's gone down by at least half from where it had been. So we will continue to see downward pressure on profitability as inventories build up. Two brands, obviously Nissan and Ford, that I'm picking on today. Nissan in part because the quotes from that article were talking about how they were going to pull inventory from the OEM. Dealers are going to pull inventory, which we know is BS. If you watched our show last week talking about Nissan, you know that Nissan is paying dealers additional monies to try and get them to take inventory off of their books and put them onto dealer books. And Ford, that part of the reason I bring up Ford is because you also have articles like these over in Automotive News talking about like Mustang Mach-E sale, sales underscore pricing issue. Like we know Ford stopped production of the F-150 Lightning recently. They've laid off staff. We talked about that on Friday. Huge, huge, huge challenges over at Ford with inventories growing. And I don't know if you saw, did you see what I tweeted out the other day, Dad, about this Ford dealer that's really getting desperate and quite frankly, I think a little deceptive. Did you see this?
I did see that. And then I also saw comments that it's a one-pay lease. But either way, it's just part of the deceptive advertising. And $20,888 is probably still too much even for a one-pay lease. But
we're seeing more of this type of stuff because it's just unaffordable. People are not interested in it. This I got tricked on this because someone sent me this screenshot. And nowhere on this screenshot does it say it's a one-pay lease. But if you were to go to the dealer website, they do have some clear indication that it is a one-pay lease. But you still have situations like these that where they're advertising a quote-unquote final price of $20,888 off of a $54,435 MSRP. That's a Ford Mustang Mach-E. Like these automakers messed up, man. They absolutely messed up. And now they're starting to feel the pain of that.
And can I explain to people what a one-pay lease is?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, that final cost, that $20,888, that's just how much you have to stroke the check for plus taxes, title, and registration fees. What? Yeah, you got to write the check for the whole amount the day you drive that car out. They get to hold your money for 36 months, okay? And that's your vehicle to use for, and you've already paid it. So you know what? If you decide 6 months in, this was a mistake, well, the good news is you only have 30 more months to go because you've already paid for it. They ain't giving you the money back. So that's what a one-pay lease is. And is it deceptive to advertise it like that? Absolutely. What a dealer specializes in? Deception. So, I mean, you know, you want to make, you want to, one of the closes in the automobile industry is it's called reduce to the ridiculous. You want to reduce the price so low that it would be ridiculous for somebody to say no. So they take a $50,000 Mustang, and the big print is Mach-E, that you can
Mach-E.
Read Mach-E, and the big print in bold that you can see is your final cost is $20,888. Okay, not final cost, final price. I think that almost qualifies to, well, we've reduced it to the ridiculous. Yeah. That'll get people's attention. That'll bring people in. Then we break it to them gently because they haven't really read that it's a one-pay lease, or they might not even understand what a one-pay lease is. And more than likely, they don't have the $21,000 to stroke the check for. So then you get to start the dance as a salesperson all over again. But yeah, the whole thing is deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome seriously. To America.
Welcome to buying a car in America. Let's come to the chat, Dad. We've got here from Angel. Thank you, Angel, kind contribution. I want to give a huge thank you to Zach. He responded to my messages, helped me, and provided advice about the Prius I'm purchasing. Thank you. Yeah, happy to help, Angel. I get lots of DMs over on Instagram. You can email me directly, Zach, Z-A-C-H at caredge.com. Happy to try and help if I can. And we've got from Matthew Hoskin here. Matthew says, Cloepo blew his Porsche BJ budget on CarEdge chats. We're not going to live down last week, are we? Brake job is what BJ stands for in this context. So hopefully we see Cloepo here today. We've got from RWD, please. All the experts 1 year ago will never see inventory at high levels again. You were even quoted as saying you didn't think it would get above 3 million units again. And I think the next set of data we're going to get from Cox this week, or
probably I think
3 million.
Yeah, I think I projected that they would want to keep it somewhere between 2 and 2.4 million vehicles, new vehicles available every month. And I think in reality they really would, but they also know now they are not, and they can't, and they won't. You know, will it ever get back to the 3.5 to 4 million new cars that were available in dealer inventory every month? I don't know that it'll get that high. Would I be surprised if it does? I don't think I would be surprised anymore if it did. I think we're going to approach and surpass the 3 million inventory level shortly. And, you know, from there, who knows how much further it balloons. But it is hard to predict what vehicle manufacturers are going to do. But I think one of the things you can predict is if you're a manufacturer, you make your money by manufacturing stuff, not by not manufacturing it. You know, it was like when I worked for an owner one time, and it was, you know, he said, well, I don't think you should have sold the car at that price. Well, when you come up with a pay plan that rewards me for not selling your vehicles, then I won't sell them at whatever price it takes to move them. As long as the manufacturer's revenue plan is they build them, they sell them to their dealers, that's how they bring in money.
Exactly.
That's going to continue.
That's what they're going to do. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's come here, Dad. We've got a thoughtful question from Scott. Scott, love your content and information, guys. First time listening live. Two-part question on a pre-owned vehicle. Purchase a 2021. Do you like the purchase model of finding 20-ish thousand miles and 2 years left on a factory powertrain? Also, is there a general depreciation formula off of a new MSRP to get close to a three-year-old market value? Really interesting question on strategies for buying used cars. How do you think about this, Dad? Do you think about finding a used car that's a year or two old that has about 20,000 miles on it? Like, what do you think about this?
Well, average miles today is 15,000 miles a year. So if you can find a two-year-old car with 20,000 miles on it, it is driven less than what an average vehicle would be driven. Now, how do you determine what that market value might be? You look at leases. Okay. You go back and you look at a 2021, whatever it is you're looking to purchase, and you find out what a 2 year lease might have been for a vehicle like that, what the residual value might have been. And that'll give you a pretty decent idea as to what its market value, wholesale market value, would have been considered at the end of that lease. Can you save money on pre-owned cars? Oftentimes you can. In today's market, lots of pre-owned cars that are 1 or 2 years old still sell very close to what the MSRP is for a brand new vehicle at the moment. Yep. So in many cases, you might be better off actually spending a couple, $3,000-$4,000 more to get the brand new vehicle and get to utilize the full manufacturer warranty, the bumper to bumper plus the powertrain warranty, as opposed to just the powertrain warranty.
Yeah, I actually think we've been pretty, and we get called out for it. People disagree with us, but I think a better value right now is a new car, because used car values are still so inflated from where they came. And again, on new cars, we're at least seeing call it whatever you want, discounts, 15-20%. Like, so you're still seeing opportunities there. And there are some brands that didn't jack up their MSRPs. I'm looking at Subaru, for example. They only
Nissan didn't jack up their MSRPs. They were at below the inflation rate. Subaru was at below the inflation rate from 2018 on. Exactly. Those vehicles, you know,
represent good value as new vehicles.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have a car price inflation guide. Just Google search car price inflation, space car edge, and it'll pop right up. Let's keep moving here, Dad. We've got a thoughtful contribution here from Papalucho 702.
Yeah.
Thank you, Papalucho. On Saturday, we let go of our beloved Toyota 4Runner for a Mazda CX-50 at $4,000 off of MSRP and 3.9% APR on a 655 credit score. Only gap in tire wheel packages at cost. Wife tends to destroy tires. That's great.
Yeah. That's
$4,000 off a brand new Mazda at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter, 3.9% subvented rate on the subvented interest rate. Like,
yeah. Beautiful. What's wrong with that in today's world? And I know that we get commenters saying, oh, you shouldn't encourage people but we're not encouraging people to buy cars, but those who want to buy a car, we're encouraging them to save money while they do it. And so, you know, God bless him. He did great. Just did great, you know? So instead of complaining about us encouraging people to do it, clap your hands for that gentleman for having saved $4,000 off of MSRP, gotten a subvented interest rate, walks away looking like a hero.
Also, that community member got tire and wheel and gap at cost, he said, which is awesome. I will mention this month, Car Edge tire and wheel and key replacement are coming out. I can't wait. We will be obviously transparent on markup and everything there. Use it as a negotiating tool when you're at the dealership. All that fun stuff should be out later this month. We've got here, Dad, from one of our community members, David Langle.
Thank you, David.
There we go. I am becoming a 50% partner in a Volkswagen Audi store in North Florida. When the deal is done, Car Edge is in. Definitely. Awesome. That's incredible, like that. David.
Thank
congratulations.
You, David.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And yeah, congratulations on that. Yes.
The more we can do to bring Car Edge into Florida, the better for humanity. So we will be there by your side.
You know, and if we can figure out how to make homeowners insurance cheaper in Florida and automobile insurance cheaper in Florida, that would be a great thing as well for Floridians.
Chloe Apo is here with us. Good to see you, Chloe Apo. Thank you for the kind contribution. What are you guys doing for your Puerto Rico trip? Was born and raised there. P.S. I always have a budget for Car Edge. I know Ray gets sad when I'm not here. He does. He absolutely does.
Well, so
that's
cool
you were born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, congratulations.
We're going in 4 weeks. 4 weeks.
4 weeks from yesterday. And we will be in Arecibo. So I don't know. I think that's about an hour and a half west of San Juan. And we've rented a house that is with a nice house with a pool right on the beach, and we are looking forward to that. And I made arrangements today for our rental car, and listed the dueling Zacks on the trip as additional drivers.
Thank you, Pop.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. Well, actually, I canceled the original reservation because I was able to save $240 by making the new reservation. So
we love it. We love
it. We do. Yeah.
T. Crawford wants to know, and then we got to move to one of our favorite segments of the show. T. Crawford says, would you consider a Mazda 3 2023 Carbon Edition for $24,000, a good deal? It has 7,000 miles on it. Hard for me to say without knowing the VIN and being able to do a lookup on it, but
sounds
decent.
New ones go for like
30-ish grand, so it sounds decent.
I don't know. Mazda 3, was it a Mazda 3 hatchback?
That's a good question.
So we need to know exactly what Mazda 3. It sounds, if I were to guess, it sounds a tad bit overpriced, but that's just a guess at this point. I would run it in the Car Edge sell widget to see what others might be willing to pay for that vehicle in your market, what dealers might be willing to pay for that, to give you some idea as to what the real wholesale value would be. And then you'd be able to figure out what a fair price is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ready for our favorite segment, Pops?
Really? You gotta be kidding me.
Edmunds bought a $69,000 Fisker Ocean. They recently went to CarMax to get it appraised, and 2 months later, it's worth $21,000. We're not the only ones out there talking about massive depreciation of used cars. I'll pull up the Ford F-150 Lightning in just a moment, but here you go, Dad. Edmunds, reliable source, paid $69,000 for a new Fisker Ocean. 60 days later, $21,000 offer from CarMax. Really? You've got to be kidding me.
And may I say, I think whoever at CarMax gave Edmunds a written offer of $21,000, I think that's a mistake. I really think that's a mistake. And the reason I say that's a mistake is, how does it have any value? The company's going out of business. So the vehicle has software issues. Is Fisker even going to be available to, I don't know, take care of those software issues? If there's ever a parts issue, are you going to be able to get your hands on it? So personally, I think it has zero value. Okay. Is zero a little low? Yeah, it's a little low. But what are you going to do with it when you can't get anything done for it? So I think if I was a higher up at CarMax and I saw that, I would be having a stern conversation with the appraiser who offered 21, because that offer is good for 7 days or I forget how many miles. Who's going to buy it? Why would anybody buy it?
This comes on the heels of us, you know, posting on social media and people picking up on it. The Ford F-150 Lightning, $95,000 MSRP. We plug it into caredge.com/sell. The highest offer was $39,200. You've got Edmunds out there doing it too. There's some serious depreciation going on right now with those EVs. It's pretty crazy.
It is. And it's, I think it was Alex sent me an article about, Or it wasn't now. One of our viewers sent me an article about how 2018 and newer Model 3 Teslas. It's going to be like a California gold rush in California when they get the completely full cert. What is it? Free? Whatever the hell. FSD. What's that stand for again?
Full self-driving. I got to jump in 60 seconds and we got a thoughtful contribution. Not putting you on the spot, but go for it.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I don't see that. Okay. I think even Teslas are going down in value rather quickly.
We see that in the data. James O. Thank you, James. You guys saved me thousands on my trade and a discount off of MSRP. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Incredible way to end the show with a generous and thoughtful contribution, James. We really, really appreciate it. Pops, I got to run.
Oh, you got to catch a plane?
I got to jump. I got a boogie. I love you very much. I can't wait to be back in D.C. tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks for doing the show with me.
It was my pleasure. I love you as well. I hope you kids have a safe flight home and, have a snack on me.